Blog Talk Radio. You're tuned into Anointed Sounds Radio, the station giving you the hits and much, much more right here on Anointed Thought Show with your girl Elena Sanders
and Lisa Williams.
And we are here today with none other than author extraordinaire himself, Mr. Conrad, Prophet Conrad. Welcome to the show.
All right, and I'm going to do a brief biography on Conrad. Conrad Prophet was raised in Royal Oak Township, Michigan, and graduated from Ferndale High School in 1982. After graduating, he served in the United States Army, where he was stationed in Fulda and Frankfurt, Germany. In 1991, he earned his bachelor's degree in business administration from Saginaw Valley State University. Through his personal experiences, Prophet was motivated to share his knowledge and perspective with the hope of preparing young people from adulthood for adulthood and the trials that accompany it, while helping them to avoid the adversities he encountered. Determination, desire, and much sacrifice resulted in his first novel, Last Year Before Reality, a work of fiction that he self-published in 2001. He developed an appetite for writing and self-published his second novel, Knowing the Rules of the Game, in 2004. In 2007, Prophet decided to make writing his career. He followed up a re-edited version of Last Year Before Reality with the sequel, No Time for Love. Conrad, welcome to our show.
Hello.
Hi, Conrad. What's going on?
I'm not just sitting here. I'm waiting patiently to do the interview.
I have to tell you guys on the air, Conrad was so excited about the interview. He called me about 6 o'clock or texted. He was like, it's going to start at 8 o'clock. But we are so excited to have you on Anointed Sounds Radio, the Anointed Thought Show with Lisa and myself. And this has been a weighted interview. For those who don't know, I met Conrad an event in Houston. It was the author's event, Brother to Brother Symposium, and we kind of connected. And Lisa and I have read his book.
Oh yes, oh yes.
And I'm
no
just going
to
give
a little
plug for Conrad out there. We read his book, No Time for Love, and my favorite, Behind the Broken Cross. You see, I got it right this time, Conrad. Behind the Broken Cross, and that also sparks us to our topic today as well. It has churches become worldly? And what is the proper way to leave a church? Do we actually just stay at a church because we are just connected with the people and so forth? But one of the things I want to know, Conrad, is reading your book, what sparked your interest into writing these particular type books?
Okay, basically, most of the books I wrote, I just wanted to, I guess, educate and entertain. Growing up, I had a lot of, difficulties. And with Last Year Before Reality, it's like that last year of my high school year and going out to college and the real world, making that transition, it was extremely difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I do not want anyone else to go through the things I went through. So in that first fiction novel, I decided to actually do that for high school students. And it also is a book that adults could identify with. I came from a single-parent home, and I try to give a different perspective from the mother. And that was that book. And then Knowing the Rules of the Game, that was nonfiction. Like I said, coming out of high school, growing up in an urban community, and I had a very aggressive attitude. And I took all that attitude and anger to corporate America, government, wherever I went in different employment sectors, I took it with me. And it was not advantageous for me. And it took, I guess about 5 or 6 tries at different employment sectors, and no, this is not the way to go. So it just really, the opportunity to give back and use my life and experiences as testimony to other people so they could go down a more positive and successful route in life. And then I continue. And one thing about my writing, I try to deal with social issues. Last Year Before Reality, about racism and the difficulties of growing up in society. And then I followed it up with the fiction novel, No Time for Love, which Lisa, you read and heard you enjoyed immensely. That dealt with domestic abuse and child molestation.
It dealt with so much. You touched on everything in there. every aspect that you could think of. I'm sorry, go ahead. I'm just excited.
You know, yes. So those, you know, and those were the aspects, but there was two major topics. Then I come up with, you know, various subplots and everything. And then for Behind the Broken Cross, years ago, I always said that, well, I'm going to write about, you know, religion because most people have some type of religious foundation, and that's what I actually wanted to do. And one thing about Last Year Before Reality is just that when it came to me to write that book, I made sure all my characters, the main characters, were so diverse in their personality, socioeconomic level, attitudes about life, style, fashions, that they could go into these other books and carry a book. It's like a spinoff. And basically that's what it is. A lot of these characters, like Renee got his book, No Time for Love. Greg and other characters got their book in Behind the Broken Cross. And I'm in the process of now with another book. And the social issue I'm dealing with is possibly, you know, the war and just basically different friendships, really. So it's a lot of things. What I try to do is just, you know, create books. When things come to me, people say, well, you got a talent or a gift. All I know, I just do what I do, and people say they enjoy it. And all I try to do is just, you know, educate and entertain people through my writing. So far, from, I guess, self-worth purpose, I'm doing an excellent job at that financially. And all I'm in it for the game, not the money. And so that's basically what I do. I try to deal with important issues.
Okay. Now, you mentioned Behind the Broken Cross. I was reading a synopsis on it, and I wanted to share it with the listeners. So I'm going to read it real quick. What happens when corruption in the church is exposed? All hell breaks loose. Follow these childhood friends as they enter yet another phase in their lives. As each of them is forced to examine their homes and family life, they begin to understand how the cross of Jesus Christ has lost its meaning. All his life, Gregory Hill has followed in footsteps of God Almighty. He has nurtured his faith and gained respect in the community as well as with his childhood friends. He has been successful in his quest to bring wayward souls to Christ, with one exception, Reverend Bobby Showtime Hayes. As the minister of the newly built church, Reverend Hayes conducts his business by any means necessary. Pimping from the pulpit is just another avenue to align his pockets with the almighty dollar. He doesn't serve God. He believes that he is the Heavenly Father. Power, sex, and money are the demons that he worships. Can Minister Gregory Hill and his army of thug Christian soldiers expose the corruption in their rival church? Can Minister Hill continue to be the holy bond to keep his church family intact? Be a witness to this tangled web of deception, denial, and corruption. Now, that in and of itself had me like, okay, where's the book? Where can I get the book?
What made you, Conrad, come up with this, I guess, scenario, scene, or how would you put it? But it's so interesting because this book is really dealing with some of the issues that are happening in churches today.
Yeah.
What really sparked that? Because we go through a lot of things with churches where some pastors, I'm not all pastors, we have some that are truly called by God, but some pastors, you know, they're in it just for the money, and they're in it for the fame and the fortune. I mean, we can say that, you know, it's not our job to put our mouths on the pastor, but we do know that does exist. So what made you actually want to come up with something to this nature?
Okay, just basically all my life I've been, you know, in and out of church, different type of churches, and I have some good experiences. Also, I had some bad experiences. And then, you know, talking, going all over, you know, the world, different work environments, and I talk to people, and they tell me about, you know, their church experiences and everything. And I'm like, you know what, I really think that something needs to be, you know, done. I need, you know, and just motivate me, and something just, you know, things, you know, come to me about, write about this subject, write about that subject. Because I think really when you're talking about people's souls, it's very imperative for people to really take religion seriously. And they have to basically search the scriptures themselves and not really be caught up in all the glamour, all the charisma of certain type of people out there. And they got to realize that there are wolves in sheep clothing. And what I wanted to do really, that I knew that this impacts so many people, and I have seen so many people devastated and hurt because they've been following the wrong person, that there was something that I had to do. It's like, well, hey, you have one life to live. Can you do something to make a difference? And I know there's numerous writers out there, but what I try to do is that whenever a person read one of my books, it make them think. And one thing about Behind the Broken Cross mm-hmm. aspect, I want to give an opportunity for people. There are some people who may be atheists or don't believe in God aspect. By reading that, they might say, hey, let me take another look at this. Or there might be a person
right.
that basically would read the book and say, hey, some of them people in Bobby Church remind me of some people in my church or leaders in my church.
Wow.
I better focus
wow.
more attention on that. And then the ones that are, there are some people in there like Alina, you know I'm Reggie Silk. You're familiar with him. You know where he came from.
Right.
And God,
well, that's the name, Lisa. We were trying to go. Silk.
Yes.
Yes.
Silk.
And so,
Silk
yes,
was off the chain.
Yeah, so it's just really what inspired me. I kid you not. Thoughts would come to me, and I would just, you know, write in. I would actually go to it. I think, Alina, some people are like, are you a minister of things of nature? I'm like, no. I just, these are the things because of, you know, my knowledge and wisdom that I have and from, you know, reading the Bible and studying, I was just able to, you know, develop these characters. And I think, you know, pray to God that he assists me with doing what needs to be done.
Yeah.
Great. And those who are just tuning in, we are talking to author Conrad Prophet, who is the author of the book Behind the Broken Cross. And some of our topics today are, has the church become too worldly? Or is there a proper way to lead the church? And one of the things Lisa and I usually chat about is, why do we think that people actually connect themselves with those type of churches? I know in your book, Conrad, it was a scene to where I think Greg was telling some of the members of Bobby's church was, you guys know that Bobby Showtime is doing wrong, but you still sit in the church and be a member. What do you think, based on your book and the knowledge that you've had and experiences, why people still connect themselves with those type of churches?
I guess those are the type of churches, and Bobby is the type of person that they feel comfortable with. He doesn't really challenge them. He's not really saying things in the Bible, saying anything, doing his sermon that make them feel, I guess, bad or
convicted.
Chased or anything. Convicted, like I say, convicted. They feel, you know, comfortable. He's not going to, you know, step on my toes. He's not going to come up to my door. Everything he's saying is just basically, oh, I could identify with. He's not criticizing me for, you know, my activities that I'm doing that I shouldn't be doing. He makes me feel comfortable. It's entertaining. I feel good. I'm going here. I'm having a good time. I'm shouting.
Wow.
I'm drunk. I'm praising. Hey, I think I'm doing God's work. Hey, I enjoy it here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's basically why people, they're just so familiar with that type of lifestyle, and they're afraid to go somewhere else because there's no question. There's no perfect church on earth. And if you go to another church, you're going to experience some other different things. Some people are just complacent and staying well. I'm familiar with the people. I'm familiar with the situation. So I'm going to just basically stay here. I'm comfortable. This is, you know, my family church. My mother went here. My father went here. My great father. So I'm going to just stay here, and I'm not going out anywhere else because you go somewhere else, they're doing the same thing.
So in your opinion, with that frame of thought that, you know, why go somewhere else? You know, you have the same spirits waiting for me there. Do you think it's better to just stay where you are and try to make an impact in the church? How do you feel about that?
Okay, I feel it's based on your strength that you have and your purpose that you're serving in the church. Because most churches and most communities, true enough, there's some negative aspects and there's some positive things. So sometimes if you could just, you know, overlook some of the things, you could still have a positive impact. You have to almost look at the big picture of what churches serve in different communities. I'm like living in Detroit, and we have thousands of churches. I would probably say close to 1,000 churches in the Detroit area. And even though sometimes the preaching is kind of, you know, different, I think some of them still do serve a positive purpose. And if you establishing the position and you're a servant and you're, even though some things are possibly going wrong, a person probably feel, well, I'm still doing some good actually here. And long as I feel long as leadership is basically abiding by, you know, the Bible aspect, it's cool because you're going to have the followers going to basically be different. But I think it's very imperative that the leaders are basically following, you know, the Bible, the scripture as close as possible. Because you're going to have different people. So long as leadership is doing what they're trying to do and they're not living a a double lifestyle, I think most people,
right.
you know, write to stay.
Okay. So what if they? What if you know personally that a specific leader or two are doing things that are not within, not abiding by the word of God? Do you think it's appropriate to approach a leader? What's the appropriate way to, I guess, address the issue?
I think definitely if you know, because most things, you're always going to hear rumors, and rumors are rumors, so it's hard to really, but
right.
if I knew from, you know, firsthand that a situation was actually
right.
going on, I would not feel uncomfortable to approach that person, myself personally. Other people probably wouldn't,
mm-hmm.
but most people, when they see things not occurring correctly, they actually just, you know, would leave the church. But myself, as you know, through some of my writings, I'm a very outspoken,
mm-hmm.
candid person. And one thing about myself, actually, you know, I attend church regularly, very faithful aspect, but the thing about me, I follow God in the scripture aspect. So basically,
right.
I'm going to do what I'm going to do anyway. And I love, you know, fellowshipping at church and listening to the service, things of that nature. But it's up to me as a Christian to, you know, read the Bible and apply what's in the Bible and what the ministers say to my life, regardless of what they do. Just because other people in the church are doing things they want to do, I'm not
right.
going by them. I'm going to do what I have to do, what I feel is right. And if I do something wrong, it's based on Conrad doing something wrong, not because, well, if Pastor so-and-so did it, I guess it's okay for me to do it. I don't know. I don't get that.
Right.
That is very interesting. I'm actually chatting with some of the individuals in the chat room, and a big shout-out to Virtuous One. I asked her to call in. She says she will in a minute. But you asked the question, Lisa, about should you approach the leader. She said yes. One should approach the leader. And I charge you to call in and expound upon that because I would like to know. And she said that people will follow the leader when the people see the vision of that leader. And that is so true. But also, some people will still follow that leader if that pastor still does not have a vision.
And, you know, one of the reasons I asked the question, just to put it out there, was because a lot of times you have certain leaders, they kind of drill in you a sense of fear to not approach them because they're hearing from God. You know, so, and then sometimes you feel like, okay, whether I say something or not, it won't matter.
Is that directed toward me, Lisa? Or just
I'm sorry?
Oh, was that directed toward me? Or you just made your statement?
No, it's just general. I was just explaining why I asked the question, you know, just to get different points of view on that. You know, because some people think it's like you don't approach the leader, especially if it's the pastor. You don't do that. That's hands off. But
yes,
there should be some kind of forum in which you could, you know, you should feel comfortable talking to leadership.
And that is a very interesting question, and we have a lot of pastors and ministers that listen to the show. And I also charge them to call in because with them being God's servants, well, we all are God's servants, but truly called by God to minister to God's people, I charge them to come in, call in, and ask and answer that question because you have some people who are a little bit confused about that, especially some
right.
that have sent questions to us about the show. If there's some issues going on with the pastor, do we really approach them? And it kind of goes back to one of the authors that we had on our show previously who wrote the book, A Pastor's Mistake. And that was one of his main concerns that
right.
he did not approach the pastor. He just allowed the pastor to do certain things. And so what is the proper way to do that? So those ministers that are out there, I charge you to call in because we really want to know that. And Conrad, you said that you were about to start writing a new book. Is this also going to be a sequel to the book that you currently have now?
Yes, it will.
Oh, okay.
Can you give us a little bit of what this one might
okay.
be about?
Yes, I will give a little because I don't want to give because hopefully because
that's
of
right,
the telephone
right.
conversation and the interview, people are like, oh, well, I got to buy this book. And I don't want to give away too much, but
right.
one of the main characters, Renee Anthony Davis, he actually
mm-hmm.
Has a son. And his son is serving in the United States Army. He's stationed in Iraq. And Renee is opposed to his son serving there. But his son is always saying, I'm a soldier for life aspect. So we're going to basically be dealing with that. And Renee also has two twins. He has twins, two boys, Malcolm Xavier and Little Rad and daughter named Bianca. So what we're trying to do is just really, for the people who don't know about Renee, he has mental issues, and we want to see really...
Dual personality.
Okay, yeah. So we're going to really see, can you see a person with mental issues really have a family life, really? And I've been getting somewhat criticism about the book. You saying, well, Conrad, that's too raunchy ass. Like, you're trying to do Zane. I'm like, no, I'm but behind the broken cross. I'm being real with the situation, you know.
I mean, why would they have an issue with that?
You know,
well,
I don't
to cut
understand.
You guys off. We actually have a caller on the line. I want to catch them before they...
Okay.
Area code 240. How you doing? Welcome to the Anointed Thought Show.
Good afternoon. Good evening. How are you? This is Virtuous One.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you girls?
How are you? Wonderful.
Good.
Wonderful.
I want to talk about the comment about do you approach the people that are in leadership. And
okay.
I believe that, first of all, everything rises and falls on leadership for one. And, you know, and with that being said, if something is happening in the leadership that as a member you don't understand or you see something that is wrong, I believe you ought to talk to the person that is in your leadership and let them become aware, because people that are in leadership, they don't see everything. And you can't go to other members in the congregation asking them, because all you're going to get is it's more than one story. That's what you're going to get. So if you see something that's, you know, just not right and you're not understanding it, I believe you should go to your leadership and talk to them about it and have them explain it to you what they're doing. You know, a lot of people don't feel that they want to go to the leadership because they sometimes some of them feel intimidated. They might feel, oh, well, you know, God didn't place them there in that position and, you know, I really shouldn't be saying anything. I'm just supposed to just sit back with my hands folded and allow that. No, you're not, because the Bible talks about
well, and
that,
you know what though, Virtuous, that's reinforced sometimes. That's reinforced by leadership, and they say, "Just pray for us, then."
Right.
And that's how they weasel out of it.
Right, because it's because they don't want to deal with it, because they know who will approach them and who won't approach them. And if you do approach them and they tell you to pray about it, then you say, "Okay, I done prayed about it, but still, I need to talk to you because this is what I'm seeing, and this is not right." You know, and then just show them scripture. Now, if you just go up there completely in the flesh, no, they're not going to hear
that's
anything
right,
you got to say,
right.
And then you're completely
absolutely
out of line. But, you know,
absolutely,
you pray about it first before you talk to those in leadership, and then once you pray about it, then you find scripture to back it up. And
right,
that's what you have to do. And then they will have to give you an answer. The answer that they give you, if it doesn't suit you or it's not biblically
based, if it's
based,
not aligned with the
then,
word. Right.
Then, and right. If it doesn't line up with the word, then you ignore what they just told you. And then you just pray to God and say, Lord, then you need to deal with them. Because according to your word, this is what this says, and this is what is going on. And I did what you asked me to do. Now, I leave it in your hands. Now, if that leadership it continues to keep sinning and doing the things that they want to and does not line up with the word of God, I believe being a member, you shouldn't sit under that type of leadership. Now, is all leadership perfect? No. But because they're all going to, because for one, they're not going to be perfect because none of us are perfect. But things that
that's
know that's right out sinful and they're continually doing and you sit under that leadership, you're just as bad as the person that committing the sin because you allow yourself to sit under that.
Amen.
Wow.
You know, and in
where
the Bible,
are you calling from?
I'm calling from the state of Maryland.
All right. Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
That's okay. Because even in the Bible, it talks about when you go to your brother and sister and you see them in sin, you're supposed to go to them with a witness and talk to them.
That's
because
right.
What you're doing
that's
is
right.
Bringing them out. But see, this is the thing. This is where the church don't want to take that step. And when you go to your brother and your sister and you point out what they've done, it's not like you're bashing them. You're just letting them know and say, you know what, I've noticed this type of sin that you're doing. This is not becoming. You know, how can I help you with it? But if they still deny the sin and don't repent, then you are supposed to bring them in front of the church. That's why they talk about the expelling in the church. You bring them in front of the church so that their sin is not that you're just trying to embarrass them, because most people won't do that because they look at that scripture and think, oh, well, you're trying to embarrass me. No. What you're trying to do is bring that person in front of a congregation so that person can admit of their sin that they have done. If they don't repent of their sin, then you're to remove that person from the church. And we don't do that in churches today because we want to keep members there. But what Paul was talking about, when you expel them, what you're doing is that you're saving their soul. You're not worried about their feelings being hurt. You're saving their soul because that's what gets them into heaven, not their flesh.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Virtuous One, for calling in. And
oh, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
On Anointed God Show. And keep listening. If you have any more questions, give us a call back.
I'll definitely listen because I like the topic, so I'm listening.
Thank you so much. Be blessed.
Be blessed.
Alina.
Yes.
Yes, I was wondering, I have a page where Greg, when he did his sermon of Behind the Broken Cross, there was about five paragraphs. I was wondering that piggybacks on that. Can I read that?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, Greg was saying he's doing his sermon. There are thousands of ministers of Satan across America who disguise themselves as men of God who should resign because of their sins behind the cross. How can a person of God be an effective leader when they can't follow God's will? Recently, I examined myself and my commitment to Christ. Many others who claim to be leaders and servants of God should also examine themselves. I will no longer be an accessory to the breaking of the cross, or will I continue to hide behind the cross? Effective immediately, because of my actions and thoughts during the past months, I am submitting my resignation to church leadership, Minister Hill said with his voice cracking and tears in his eyes. Shocking disbelief spread through the sanctuary. One of the main reasons I'm resigning is because of what Christ said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. It is an atrocity and blessedness that Christ has to be asked to come into the church that he created. Most of the churches are corrupt and full of sin that Christ wouldn't enter if you did open the doors. And based on that aspect and what she actually said, yes, and that was basically his sermon of Behind the Broken Cross, is just that everyone who has a church is not followers of God. Some of these people are followers of Satan. They wouldn't care less if it was about saving souls. It's a business to a lot of people. So when she, what the last caller just said, it was very
Virtuous,
relevant.
Yes.
Yes, but what you have to realize is that when you're dealing with ego, greed, and things of the flesh and carnality, you just can't do the things that you always want to do. It's not that cut and dry.
Right.
And what made you come up with that title, Behind the Broken Cross? I kind of know what it deals with, but I just want to hear it from the author's mouth. What made you just come up with that title of the book?
Okay, Behind the Broken Cross, most of the time with my readers, I discuss a lot of things. But I'm also, you know, just thinking of something, I say, okay, go with the concept behind the cross. And then I wanted the broken cross because what happens is the cross is broken, and the cross is broken because of Christians, because of all of us. As all of us are a part of the body of Christ, and if we're doing something wrong every day that is not Christ-like, it's slowly breaking the cross. It cracked and continuously, and if even people will look at the cover of the book, after the cross is broken, you know, and the blood of Christ comes out, and that's what's actually happened. But each of us as a Christian, it's our job to actually repair the cross, and that starts with basically leadership. It's their job, you know, to start. But if the cross is being broken from leadership, oh, that's just going to cause havoc on everyone else who are following these servants, and that's what's actually occurring there. And the one chapter with Greg and Alina, yourself and other readers who have read this book, I'm sure they're familiar with what occurred. That was just an excerpt of that chapter. But yeah, that's why I came up with it. And then my website designer and book cover, Brenda Lewis, she did an excellent job. I'm able to give her my thought process on it, and she would just actually, I tell her something, a vision, and she would create that vision for me. And I think Behind the Broken Cross, even if people just, you know, look at the cover of the book, it makes them think, what is happening there? And then I would toss along, you know, some of my people's, one thing about writing, you meet so many different people, and one of my people who read all my books, I'm trendless. She always, I tell her about it, like, no. And then I'm open. I'm open-minded to people, ideas to help me. I guess when you're writing, you have to think a book is a product. So I'm very open-minded about what's probably the best thing out there for people that would draw their attention.
Right. And for those who don't have a copy of this book, you need to go out and get a copy of the book. But one of the things that messed me up, and Conrad, and you can explain it to them in a little bit, is that it's a sequel. Am I correct?
Yes.
And I read the last part first, and then went back. But Behind the Broken Cross is an awesome book, and they should read which book before it, Conrad.
Okay. If they can, the first book is Last Year Before Reality. That's senior year of high school. If I can, I could just basically read the synopsis. Last Year Before Reality is a touching story about the pain and struggles that mothers experience as they attempt to assist their children during their last year of high school and prepare them for the realities of adulthood. The development of close friendships and the determined deterioration of others provide for nonstop action, hope, despair, dreams, and disappointments propel the characters through to the last page. The inevitable result is summarized in the last sentence of the book. For some, it was their last year before reality. For others, it was their last year. So that's basically the first book. If they had the opportunity, they read that. That's the senior year of high school, No Time for Love. It's like 11 years later. Most of them graduate from college, have their family, have their career going, and then another 10 years later, and then it's Behind the Broken Cross. So that's the order is Last Year Before Reality, No Time for Love, and Behind the Broken Cross. But the way that I set the books up, that if someone read Behind the Broken Cross first, they won't be lost because every book starts right there. So even if you didn't read the other two books first, you will still be able to read the book and enjoy it because all my books focus attention on subject areas. It's not basically focusing attention on the characters, but the subjects characters are dealing with, the plots and subplots are based on, you know, characters. And when I started writing, I want to make sure that no matter where a person lived in the United States, around the world, they could identify with the situations because it's based on circumstances and situations in life. It's not based on certain people. So far, I have written 4 books, and I have not had one based in Detroit yet because I think if I base one in Detroit, I will focus attention on too much of the scenery. Is almost will be a book about Detroit, but for
and then they'll probably know those that live in Detroit.
Yeah, so what I did, I just, you know, stayed away from there. And Chicago was, most of my books are based out of Chicago. I have a friend there, and I travel there very often. And I thought that was important for me to, you know, just go there and base it off of Chicago, a city I'm not too familiar with, so I could focus attention on character development and philosophy and ideologies. And that's what I try to do in my writing.
Now, I don't want to give too much of the book away because I want all of you guys, and I want to support this man of God because he's writing books, so we need to support the kingdom. So make sure you go out and get his book. Amazon, is it correct? Where can they purchase it at?
Okay, they could purchase it at Amazon.com. They could purchase it there, or they could go to my website, www.conrad.prophet.com. They could go there and purchase. So either one, but like for instance, for book clubs and people want to purchase large quantities, if they purchase them through me, I have opportunity of providing, you know, discounts also on postage, and also they get, you know, an autographed copy of the book. So there's, you know, pros and cons of who you get it through. But if you go through me, really, I could definitely make it advantageous economically for you to, you know, go through me, definitely with large volume book sales. Amazon.com, you know, you're good that you could go through there. Plus, if you go through there, that brings up my sales there.
Okay.
And then
in the book that I was talking to Lisa about, and we were discussing the book, and we knew that Rad had two different types of personality. Schizo, I guess I would say he was. But one of the things that I noticed about Rad in the book was that he always went after those who did wrong. He didn't turn the other cheek. He kind of, you know, made things that happened to him in the past, he went and took care of it. So what was your twist on that? Because I know in the Bible it says, you know, turn the other cheek, but it also says an eye for an eye. So, but I just want to know what was your twist on that, because as I was discussing with Lisa, it seemed like Rad was kind of like God's servant to get those who did wrong, and he always got there at the nick of time to get them. So that was just interesting.
Okay.
I mean, he always got there at the nick of time when somebody was about to do wrong. He come back,
he sure
he's jumping out of a helicopter, he's doing something. I mean, I'm just like, wow, what? He know this is about to happen. And it's just so interesting. So those that are hearing what I'm saying, you have to read this book because it is a page-turner, and you would not put it down. I had to force myself so many times to say, okay, it's time to go to sleep. But just to let you answer that question, just tell me, what was your concept? What was your aspiration? I don't know. Just tell me, how did you come up with the character Rad?
Okay. Okay. The character Rad, at first his name was like actually Steven, and then my name's like Conrad. And last year before reality, if you read that book, and it's his mother named him, Renee Anthony Davis. I like, well, let me change it to Rad aspect. And then as I'm going through, I'm developing, it's just like Rad had a tougher personality, Tuckno Prisoner
right,
aspect.
Yeah.
And as the book actually developed, and I can't really, Elaine, I can't give a lot away because
yeah,
no
we don't want to give, we want
them
to go by.
But the
it.
Thing is, what happens about him, is just that it's basically a part of, you know, my personality aspect. It's like I always, you know, try to assist and help people. Ask, and then you try to get this alter ego where you always try to do good. But then, like, people have, you know, pet peeves of things that they oppose, just like God opposes things. The character Rad
right.
opposes people that actually do wrong, and I believe in poetic justice. And then, you know, sometimes it's good to have, you know, some type of hero. Like, there aren't very many men that actually read, but if they read any of these books, they would enjoy the strength of the men. I don't believe in having, you know, weak men characters. And it's just that, you know, we don't have too many, you know, heroes in society. So, hey, who knows, one day he might become one of the heroes. And I just wanted, you know, someone very positive, even though the things that he was doing, you would say he was, you know, working for God, but doing the things he was doing, it was like, it was a lesser two evils. Because the person that was doing
right.
something else was doing something worse than what he was doing. He was just basically evening out the score.
Cleaning it up.
Yes. And the thing is, that because of what happens, it's just, no, you don't want to tell so much about him. And, Alina, you read No Time for Love. Lisa, did you finish reading No Time for Love?
Oh, yeah.
Lisa.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so y'all know when Renee and you, and it's just incredible when you're writing how these plots and subplots I'm developing, you know, when Rad finally came out and there became two of them. There was a spider incident.
That was very interesting.
That confused me.
That was very because it was like there was a total, it was a conversation like, no, you're not going to do this. Yes, I am. You need me.
I had to really, really go back and read, and that's why I say it's good to read the ones before so you can kind of know what happened. Because with me reading behind the broken cross, I was like, who is he talking to?
Okay, and that's what a lot of people say. They read, like, what's happening? But you actually have to read it. And what happened at the end of last year before reality really caused a lot of things, this, I guess, domino effect to occur. But that one closet scene, and then once a writer, you start creating, you're like, you know what? I have two characters now. And then I could just work with it. And as both of you know, at work, they keep having these conversations with each other. And throughout the book, the last chapter, doing a scene where they're coming down the aisle. I'm not saying what scene. And they still having these back-and-forth conversations.
Yes.
Some people actually have those conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah, like what I try to do is just make a book as entertaining and enjoyable as possible and thought provoking. Once
we're
gonna
have to talk off the air about this because I'm bubbling over. I'm trying to hold it.
This book is awesome. We're gonna have to get you to Atlanta with some book clubs and book signings because those not only Atlanta because you know Anointed Sounds is broadcasting in 82 countries. www.anointedsounds.com. But I mean, we need to get you somewhere to where people can really, really get this book because this book is awesome for them. And I'm not just doing it because I know Conrad, he's a cool dude, but I'm gonna tell you
I didn't know him and
if I'm
it
putting
was
my name
off
on
the
it and I'm pubbing it, it has to be good.
It
has
is the bomb.
To be good.
Okay. So Alina, which one do you like the best? Which one? What's your favorite?
I like
Behind
the Broken Cross the best.
See, I'm jealous because
I didn't get a chance to read that one. I read them both. Behind
but I
the
tell
broken
you what,
cross.
I was still trying to flip the pages when the book ended. No Time for Love ended. I was still trying to flip pages. I'm like, oh, I have to have some more of this.
And that's good.
That was one of the reasons what made me come up with the topic. Because and I'm not going to give the whole book away, but one of the characters, Bobby Showtime. I can't remember the last name. What's the last name, Conrad?
Hayes.
Bobby's last name.
Bobby Showtime Hayes. His last name Hayes.
Hayes, yeah. Bobby Showtime Hayes. And he really thought he was God. He really thought he was God, and I mean, it's just interesting. So I'm not going to tell you about the full character of Bobby Showtime because you need to go buy it. But I mean, it was just amazing how you came up with these characters.
It's very engaging. The way you wrote it was so engaging. I mean, it takes me a long time to learn characters, but I was knowing all their names. I mean, it was just amazing how you pulled everything together, and you had so much. It was very dynamic because you had different things going on, different scenarios. I was just flabbergasted. It was so good.
I am so glad to hear that. I really am. I am so glad to hear that. And plus, you know, your friends and coworkers and family tell you that, like, y'all just saying it because y'all know me, things of that nature. But when someone you don't know tells you that, and then they actually, some people be kind of like, you know, I compare you with the other authors. I'm like, for real? Because I just do what I do. But they tell me that, you know, I'm up there with some other people. I'm like, yeah, right, okay, whatever. It's just something, you know, it's just something I really enjoy doing. And I'm glad, you know, God blessed me with the talents and skills to do it. And I hope to continue to, even though my books is good and evil, I hope that there's always something in there redeeming that would help a person who's reading it. And that's all my books would basically be that way. I want people to be entertained, but I do want them to be able to pull something away. And I think, Lisa, when you read Renee, because there's always some type of somebody going to give a lecture or speech. And I try to do it in a way that it's not boring, like, oh, he's lecturing me. But it's just, you know, thought-provoking because you have followed those characters. Because there's a character named Monica. I think she's...
I was just about to mention Monica. Monica is a female rat.
I swear she is.
That girl was off the chain. She came straight up from...
Oh, my God. Monica.
Everybody loves Monica.
She's so real.
Most of the characters in there, most people could identify with all the characters in my books. Most people could identify with. I hope nobody don't know any killers. But other than that, the other characters, people know. But some people know killers also. I just really, you know, appreciate
it. And even the counselor, you wrote it. But the the lady who was the counselor who actually came in and tried to help the girl get off the street.
Okay, moment of silence.
I'm like, what is Lisa talking about?
Lisa, what book are you reading, sweetie?
Did you get the book mixed up with another one, Lisa? Who else you reading? Lisa, be more of it. You vague, Lisa.
That was the moment of
silence.
And comrade, I'm sitting here like, what?
You know what?
Like,
that's
what?
Because it was so much like a movie. And I think I did get it crossed because I saw a movie that reminded me of the book, and I bet you that I must be getting it crossed.
Okay, because the thing is, but that's good. Throw that movie out there.
We're talking to Conrad Prophet, excuse me, who wrote the book Behind the Broken Cross, and we're discussing this book, and we're just having our little moment here, and I was like, what is Lisa talking about?
But Lisa, that's
girl,
good.
I'm so sorry. Yes.
Throw that big out there, movie, both books.
Your life, Conrad.
It was so much like a movie. It was so much like a movie to me.
So hopefully someone's out there listening to
that. We need the next play, hook up with Tyler Perry or whoever, and this needs to become a play because this would be an awesome movie. Not just a play. I would say a movie, like you said, at least a movie.
No, it's a movie. It's definitely a movie.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. I hope someone else listening.
Awesome. So, Conrad, what's coming up? What next events or book clubs you have? What's going on with Conrad that we need to know about?
Okay, on Saturday, March the 28th, I'm going to Lansing, Michigan. Sisters Turning Pages, they're going to have me up there for one of their book club meetings. And if someone go to my – usually what I try to do is book club meetings. I make sure I take pictures, do videos, and put them out on my website. So that's coming up. And I just came off of, you know, this winter I wasn't really pushing book sales very much because of the weather. But now, you know, we're coming into, you know, March, April. I'm just being as aggressive as possible. And I'm just glad to have this opportunity to really to get my name out there, my work out there. And so hopefully I'm able to, you know, people, you know, email me, call me, so I can just continue to get my name out there. What I would like to do is actually what people got to realize is this writing at first it was a hobby, and then it becomes a business because it sometimes, you know, it could become expensive, really. So I'm just trying to get it out there to recoup some expenses so I could start another one, because I always tell people after I finish, but I'm not writing anymore, I'm not writing anymore. But once, you know, it hits me, I'm like a writing and playing chess. I'm addicted to those. Those are two of my, you know, addictions, and I'm going to keep doing it. And one day I hope to have opportunity. I have like 4 books in my mind right now, and hope to have the opportunity to, you know, just really do that for a moment. But, yes, I have. I'll be starting on the next book shortly. Hopefully I'll be doing a lot of more book club meetings in the Detroit area. I'll definitely be doing book signing as the weather gets better.
All right. That's what's going on with Conrad Pratt. Catch him. He's out of Detroit, Michigan, and he will come out to you if you help with the arrangements and expenses. You know how to put that in there. You know, just a little honorarium, you know, to get him to where he needs to go.
Right.
We got to put that in there. But, Conrad, one of the topics that we had today is, like, what is the proper way to leave? I guess I don't want to say leave. What's the proper way to know when God? Well, what did you say, Lisa? How do we know when God is telling us to leave?
Yes.
The ministry.
When God is speaking to you, and how long is long enough to pray about it?
We're just doing this open discussion, because you know there may be some signs that you know you should be leaving the ministry, but I know
some things you don't have to pray about.
Yeah, I know from experience that God may have told me to leave, but I was attached to the people there, and it was like, okay, I don't want to leave my friends, and I don't want to leave this. I don't want to leave the choir, but I know this is not where I belong. So just having as an open discussion with everyone, what do you feel is the time when you feel that you should be able to leave, or you should leave a ministry?
Mm-hmm. Who want to go first?
You can go since you
Well, I think sometimes certain things do require you to go into prayer, maybe some fasting. But there are other things. If you are getting sick, physically sick, when you go to a place, that's probably an indicator that you must leave. If you are getting physically sick. Now, as far as
define sick, Lisa, what do you
like? Anxiety attacks, headaches, nausea, you know, those type of things, like physical, something that you can actually see, okay? It's not your mind playing tricks on you. It's something manifesting physically, those type of things. Now, and sometimes we do get caught up with, okay, well, you know, there are other churches are going to have problems too, or, you know, whatever the case may be, but you have to really decide, okay, Can I really hear from God when I'm suffering from all of this illness, physical illness, every time I come to this place? Or you get to a point where you can't even receive the word because you are so caught up in what's going on around you. Then it's time to go. It's time to go. And it's not to say necessarily that the church is, you know, just evil or the people in it are evil. Sometimes it's just time to move on. Your season is up.
Good. Conrad, do you have any thoughts on that one? Okay, Conrad.
Uh-oh. You lost Conrad.
I think we lost Conrad, but call back in, Conrad. And we know there's different types of connections going on here. So what I was talking about that, Lisa, that is very interesting with us. Talking about, you know, when do we leave a church? And you was talking about being physically sick. You know, for me, and this is just my opinion, this is not something I took
right.
out the Bible.
Absolutely.
Or this is my opinion. I feel that when it comes to a point when you start seeing more negative than a positive at any type of ministry, that it's time to go.
Right.
It's time to go. Like when you walk in and you like, oh God, here go again.
Right.
I think it's time, because then I'm not being spiritually fed. I'm looking at the negative things. I'm looking at what she did to me or what she's constantly doing to me over and over again.
Right.
I'm looking
right.
And she might be coming to talk to me about something, but the first thing I'm going to think is like, okay, here she goes again.
Something negative.
And that's
just it's not fruitful for anybody.
Yeah. And I have my defense up already. I'm like, okay, you know. So I know that's when it's time for me to leave, and that's a couple of my signs.
And you know what? Go ahead.
Go ahead, Lisa.
No, I was just going to also say, and sometimes, you know, as far as praying about when to leave, I think God speaks to us before it gets really bad, and we just don't pay attention because we are in the flesh and we're looking at things in the natural, and we're caught up with, you know, whatever had gotten us there. We're caught up with that. And before we know it, we're putting the church or persons on pedestal and literally worshiping them instead of listening to what God is saying.
Right.
So I think sometimes we have to follow the voice of God before it gets bad, because then what ends up happening is it gets bad for you, it gets bad for them, and then God is going to make it so bad and uncomfortable for you, you're going to have to leave.
Right.
That was his intention for you anyway, but because you were disobedient and stayed there, now everything is just awry because you were disobedient.
Right, exactly. That is a good point. That was a good statement. And that's one of the things that we as Christians are just in I would say the fleshly part of us, that we want what's best for us and not what's best for God. And maybe our season is up. Our time was up. And so that's one of the things that we have to definitely be obedient when it comes to that. And it's just interesting. It's just interesting that, and I wanted a lot more pastors to call in today. And thank you, Virtuous One, for calling in and talk to us. And thank you guys who are in the chat room for calling in. We appreciate you doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank Conrad. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Conrad Prophet. I mean, book is awesome. We apologize that we lost you. We don't know what happened. I don't know if I hit a button. I apologize if I did.
Just bloopers today.
I don't know. But, you know, the enemy is always in the midst, roaming around like a lion, so trying to do things when we're trying to do stuff for God. But, again, those who are listening to the sound of my voice and Lisa's voice, make sure you go out and get Conrad Prophet's book.
You will not be disappointed.
Will not be disappointed.
I can't stress not even more. Oh,
No Time for Love, Behind the Broken Cross, and he has more to come. My favorite is Behind the Broken Cross, and Lisa, I'm going to make sure I give you my copy.
Thank you.
So
thank
you can
you
read
much.
It, because,
yes.
I mean, this book is awesome. It talks about a lot of stuff going on now.
I think I'm going to start a collection of his, because, I mean, I'm glad you gave me the one you gave me. It was really good, very engaging. I didn't feel like I was lost, you know, because, like he said, he wrote it in a way that you still get to know the characters and you're not lost when you're reading it, even though it was a follow-up to something else, because he still kind of, throughout the book, gives a summary of the prelude to it.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. I mean, Rad the character, Monica.
That's off the chain.
Monica, you're going to fall in love with Monica. then you have Greg.
She's raw, but she's real.
She's real. And Greg, and then we have the hustlers in there. What is Silk? Reggie.
Silk.
Reggie.
Oh,
I mean, you just have to get this book. I can't stress it much. I think Conrad needs to hire us as publicists, because we're really pubbing this book over the airwaves today. But I'm pubbing it because it's
look, I'm ready for the movie.
Right. You're ready for the movie, Conrad. So, and again, I always say tune into the Anointed Thought Show on Anointed Sounds Radio, the station that's giving you the hits and much, much
more.
I think we got Conrad back. Let me see if we got Conrad back. Welcome to Anointed Sounds.
Yes, it's Conrad.
Oh, okay. Hey. Okay. We were just pubbing the book while you were gone. That's okay. Don't worry about it. We took care of it.
Okay, thank you.
And what we were talking about is telling the listening audience to just go out and publish your book. And like we said, she's going to start a collection because the books are so good. And just support our independent. You're independent artist, is that correct? Our author.
Yes, I am.
Want to say artist.
Yes, I am.
Okay,
yes, I am.
And that's what is the benefits of being independent versus being with a huge publishing company or signed to, you know, artists call it label. What do they call it for authors?
Publishing house.
I had it right. Thanks. Okay, I was in the spirit. But what is the difference or the benefits of being independent versus being with a publisher?
I think by being independent, self-published, I set my own timetable. I don't have no, you know, great demands on my time, whereas I need this book by certain date. You know, you have freedom, more freedom that way.
Right.
You also could write about really what you want, about what you feel opposed
mm-hmm.
to, what someone wants you to write. And
mm-hmm.
and plus, any since it's your own, what you got to realize is that as a writer, a book is a product. So that means I'm responsible for the product, and one of the most important things is marketing and advertising. So it's up to me to do. There's a lot of responsibilities, but the good thing is if you do become successful and are able to, you know, sell books, a lot of the revenue comes back to you, so you can really pay for a lot of expenses that goes into publishing your book. And you just asked me some of the advantages, but some of the disadvantages of being just self-published, you're not out there to the masses, to the larger bookstores. You have to come up with, you know, actually all your money. You have to do everything yourself. I don't mind doing that, because if you don't believe in yourself and invest in yourself, who else is going to invest in you? But I think one of the greatest things is just freedom to do what you want, to have independence. Like, you see a lot of singers now, you know, they're getting away from the big labels and stuff, because the amount of money they're getting is not worth it. You know, you sit up here, put all your time and effort in a situation, and you're getting, what, 10 cents a quarter for a CD?
No, so it's
definitely economically advantageous to be, you know, self-published if you do have a good product. So that means, you know, a lot of the revenue can come in back to you, so you actually could recoup some of your costs. Because most people think publishing a book is easy, man. It could cost you anywhere between $2,000 to $4,000. Depends on what you do yourself and what you outsource. And since I just enjoy, you know, writing, all those other hats, I don't like wearing 10 hats. I just want to wear one hat, right, and let everyone else wear the other hats, what they good at, because I'm that type of person. Is I just want to, I can't be good at everything. Let me focus attention on the one thing that I am good at, and then I'm able to, you know, hire someone else to do what I need for them to do, like a marketing person. I'm not going to mention their name, but I'm pretty sure that they would be able to do it, you know, pretty effectively.
Oh. Well, yes. We'll work on that. We'll definitely work on the marketing for this book. We're going to do that, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. But I want to thank you, Conrad, for coming on the show today. We have truly enjoyed discussing your book, because we enjoyed reading it. And
yes.
We're looking forward to another interview once we get the new book, once you complete that and coming back and doing that. We look forward to doing that and maybe helping you, assist you with some events here in Atlanta. Lisa and I will talk about that as well,
mm-hmm.
because they need to definitely hear your message and read these books. It's awesome. And again, thanks to those who were in the chat room with me, who are listening to the sounds of our voice on Anointed Sounds Radio. We do it for the good of God and only for His glorification.
Amen.
That's the only reason why we do what we do, and try to help promote those who are trying to bless His kingdom and educate those through God's word. So I want to definitely say that. And I think that your name fits it, Conrad Prophet.
Prophet.
Because you have been prophesying to us through these books.
Yeah, thank you. I just really like to thank both of you for this opportunity. It's like, you know, the first opportunity I had to do a webcast interview, and it's been very fun. I was nervous and anxious about it, but it was fun. Y'all made me feel very relaxed, and I hope, you know, your listeners enjoy, you know, the information I provided and the interaction between it. I just really like.
Oh, yeah, you're family now.
Yeah, you're part of family now.
Don't
trip when we call you to be a part of some shows that we're talking about. Come
on. Oh, no problem.
Because we hold on to our authors. We make sure we call them in, because they keep it real.
Right.
But again, thank you for tuning to Anointed Sounds Radio Station, giving you the hits and much, much more on Anointed Sounds. It's Anointed, S-O-U-N-D-Z, streaming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in 82 countries.
Yeah.
You tuned in with Elena Sanders and
Lisa Williams
on Anointed Sounds Radio. Thank you so much and good night.
You know he's the reason. You know he's the reason.